This tape is a production of All Roads Ministry. This tape deals with the Inquisition. If there is another aspect of Catholicism which is more misunderstood than the Inquisition, I am not aware of it. The Inquisition is trotted out by anti-Catholic bigots to point out on how evil the Roman Catholic Church is, or how wrong it has been at times, or the great fear that the average person should have of letting a Catholic become a president, or letting Catholics be influential in a government, lest they bring back the Inquisition. The problem with these fears is that they are based on nonsense or lies. The only way one can misunderstand the truth about the Inquisition is to either, number one, be ignorant, or number two, be malicious. That is a liar. There is no third possibility. In order for us to make clear what we're talking about, let us deal with what the very word itself means. And in order to do that, we shall have to give a little background on criminal justice systems. Criminal justice systems are systems of government by which punishment of people who have committed serious offenses, which are generally considered offenses against the commonality of the state, are prosecuted, are determined, and penalties imposed. In other words, if I simply fail to meet the terms of a contract, this is generally considered civil law. If I am married and I have a disagreement with my wife and we divorce and we disagree over the contract, this is family law. If a ship sinks on someone's property, this is navigational law. But if you rob, steal, commit arson, if you defraud publicly, if you commit the offenses against the common sense, riot, if you purvey drugs, etc., if you help a criminal to escape, these are all considered criminal offenses. Now, in general, assuming, of course, that my audience is primarily of Western European background or Eastern European background, there are two criminal justice systems which have been prevalent throughout Europe and the Western world. One is the adversarial position, which is primarily practiced in the English-speaking areas of the world, those places which were either under the rule or the influence of England, and then the inquisitorial system, which is primary in the Latin areas of the world. The primary difference between these two is the goal. The adversarial position, or the adversarial system, puts two competing forces against one another. And the goal is to see who wins. The goal is not justice. It is simply to bring a winner and a loser out of a contest, which takes place in a court. So therefore, in the adversarial position, the defense attorney has the obligation, by his ethical code, to defend to the best of his ability his defendant, even if the defendant is a horrible person who should be put away forever. Therefore, the defense attorney has the job of defending Adolf Hitler, Charles Manson, Joseph Stalin, and trying his darndest to get this fellow out. The defense attorney, if he succeeds, will release the child rapist so the child rapist can go out and rape another child. This is the adversarial position. By the same token, the prosecutor, despite a few nonsensical oaths and nominal oaths he takes, his primary job is to prosecute and put the fellow away, whether he's guilty or innocent. And the judge's job is to remain impartial, taking neither side, caring nothing about truth, nothing about justice, but only legal technicalities passed down. In other words, the criminal justice system in the adversarial position is a matter of a game played by rules when the rules can change. As Oliver Wendell Holmes, a Supreme Court justice, is attributed saying, when a lawyer in front of him was complaining, Oliver Wendell Holmes said, "What do you want, young man?" And the young man said, "I want justice." And Oliver Wendell Holmes says, "This is a court of law, not a court of justice. Don't confuse the two." He was serious. The inquisitorial system is quite different. Inquisition means simply a search, an inquiry, a look. An inquisitorial system is based on one concept. What is the truth? Who is guilty? Who is innocent? Every party, the defense attorney, the prosecutor, the judge, all officials of the court, are geared towards one thing. is this man guilty? Is this man innocent? If he is guilty, he's punished, or whatever else the court decides to do with him. If he is innocent, we must release him. So therefore, in the inquisitorial system, everybody gains when justice is done. And there are no winners and losers, in the sense that everybody is gearing towards the same thing, truth. Truth, of course, has no direct place in the adversarial position. Now, before you accept criticism that the inquisitorial system is bad, understand that the adversarial position has no virtue in it whatsoever, because it is interested in only games. It is no more virtuous, and the virtuous side no more wins in the adversarial position than the virtuous side wins in a football game. In a football game, the better team wins. In the adversarial position, the better lawyer wins. And because of the way things have occurred, generally that means who has the most money. Because defense attorneys can make much more than prosecuting attorneys. So the rich man can certainly hire a better attorney, which will provide him with an unfair advantage that a poor man cannot have. So you have a rich man's system of, quote, justice, which means exactly the result which occurs today. The poor man goes away while the rich man goes free. This is the system which people advocate and object the inquisitorial system. But of course, when people talk about the inquisitorial system, they are not talking about just the inquisitorial system in general. They are talking about the, quote, Inquisition established by the Catholic Church. And what they usually mean is the Spanish Inquisition. So again, let me make a few comments on this. These are historical comments which anybody who takes any effort whatsoever can find out. Number one, the earliest reference I can find to, quote, the Inquisition was a board of inquiry set up by a pope at the time of the Albigensian heresy in southern France. The Albigensians were a group of non-Christians who masqueraded as Christians. They advocated child and adult murder. They opposed marriage and procreation. They thought that there was a good God and a bad God. They thought everything material was created by the bad God, everything spiritual created by the good God. In other words, they were, in so much as anyone can become evil, evil people. They were not Christians trying to get back to an earlier form of Christianity. They were people who tried to destroy the social fabric of the Christian culture of the time. They were also political rebels against the proper lord of the area, the King of France. Now, the Inquisition was set up by the Pope so that he could find out what was the nature of the Albigensians. The problem with the Albigensians, of course, is because they had literally no morality for the common people, only the elect, as they were called, having any morality whatsoever, is these people would lie about their nature, call themselves Catholics, actually maybe attend Mass, but in reality not be that way at all. Since the Catholic Church is the bulwark and pillar of truth, as it says in Paul's letter to Timothy, it has the obligation of defending the truth and preserving it and passing it on. In order to find out what the truth is, an inquisition was conducted, and one of the inquisitors was murdered by the Albigensians, and this led to the Albigensian Crusade, which is dealt with in my tape on the Crusades, and it led to the suppression of the Albigensians, both as a political and moral force, I should say an immoral force, by the legal political forces of the day, the King of France and the knights who served underneath him. That is a simple historical background of when the Inquisition first began, at least the Inquisition that we talk about. Now, when we talk, most people talk again about the Inquisition, what they're talking about is the so-called Spanish Inquisition. This was a board of inquiry. In other words, it was a system which existed in France from somewhere around 1470 to somewhere around the Napoleonic times, around 1810, 1850. Now, I say somewhere because in my research, it seems to me that even the same authors are not exactly clear when it first began and when it didn't. Many hold the pivotal year of 1492 as the beginning, and since primarily the comments and the slanders against the church deal with the Catholic the Spanish Inquisition, I'll try to concentrate my efforts on that. In the year 1492, three things happened in the history of Spain which were very significant. Of course, we are aware that that is when Columbus sailed across the ocean, discovered the New World for Spain. The second thing is that the last stronghold of Islam was conquered by King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella. The third is that the Moors and the Jews were expelled from Spain. In order for you to understand this activity, which led to the Inquisition, I shall have to give a little brief historical background. Spain was conquered by Rome a long time ago, at the time roughly of Julius Caesar. And for a long time, approximately 400 years, it considered itself part of the Roman Empire. When the Western Roman Empire fell, Spain both was led by various different rebel emperors, and then also invaded by various different Teutonic German tribes. Ultimately, the Visigoths established a kingdom through most of what is now Spain. The Visigoths were Arians, and the Catholic population of Spain did not like them very much for two reasons. One was the racial differences, and second were the religious differences. Therefore, the Visigoths never fully incorporated Spain into their kingdom and never fully made Spain a Visigoth kingdom. When the rise of Islam took place and the Arab invaders came across from Africa, they somewhat easily conquered Spain, and among other things, they were aided by the Jews at the time. This took place at approximately 711 AD. From that time until 1492, various parts of Spain were ruled by Islam. And the Spanish culture, and the Spanish personality, and Spanish nationality was formed by one thing, the reconquest, the taking back of the Iberian Peninsula from the forces of Islam. And of course, they did not forget that it was the Jews who helped them, that is, the Islamic forces, invade Spain. This does not mean to say that the Islamic forces would not have succeeded, but it does mean to say that when you are oppressed and denied your homeland for 700 years, memories become ingrained and are kept alive for seven centuries. Briefly, under Ferdinand and Isabella, the smaller kingdoms of Spain were united into one large kingdom, and the last forces of Islam were pushed out. But that does not mean that all the people left behind were what we would call normal Spanish. No, many of them were still Islamic people, Moors primarily, and Jews. Ferdinand and Isabella, deciding that since they had united their own two kingdoms of Aragon and Castile, which themselves were compilations of smaller groups, that they needed some unifying national force, and they decided that, among other things, it would be the concept of Catholicism. They suspected, quite justifiably as it later turned out, that the Moriscos, that is, those people who were of Moorish or Jewish descent, would not be true Catholic Spanish loyal subjects. And therefore, what they decided to do was expel them. In other words, they simply made a political decision and exiled these people. However, they gave them a choice. They could convert if they wished and become Roman Catholics. Many did, and so it seems from history, many of them quite sincerely. Others, however, did not. And later on, approximately two generations later, they led a revolt, the Morisco Revolt, in which they tried to overthrow the legal authority of the King of Spain. This revolt was suppressed. But what was brought about also as a result of this was an inquisition to determine if these people and a variance of the people were in fact true Catholics. Now, you must understand that the Spanish Inquisition was set up by the government of Spain, not the Roman Catholic Church. It absolutely used as its primary inquisitors, that is, people who did the mechanical and the judicial inquiring in the Court of Inquisition, Dominicans and other Catholic clerics. This was probably for two reasons. Number one, such people were less likely to be corrupted because they had a higher morality than the average judicial judge, who could always be slipped a few bucks one way or another and render a verdict against your enemy or in favor of you. Secondly, they were better educated, and education and the keeping of records was a very important thing to the Spanish of that time. Also, by the same token, because of the expansion of Spain geographically to New Spain, that is, Mexico, Latin America, Central America, South America, etc., this relieved the Spanish government of some of the obligation of doing this and allowed them to put their efforts judicially into other areas. Understanding this background, We have a nation which had recently been reunited for the first time in 700 years. We have a nation which remembered a Jewish betrayal, at least from the Spanish point of view. Whether it was justified or not from the Jewish point of view is not the point. We're talking about what the Spanish saw. Also remember, the distance between Spain and Africa is very slight, and Islam at this time was definitely on the march. This was shortly after Constantinople had fallen, and Suleiman the Magnificent and Murad the Conqueror were leading the Ottoman Empire on what appeared to be a victorious march against Western Europe. It looked like at this time that all of Western Europe would ultimately come under Islam. This was not the time to have people behind who would be a fifth column, that is, openly on your side but secretly traitorous, behind the ranks. So therefore, the unifying factor of Spain was to be Roman Catholicism, and the Inquisition took place with the sole goal of determining who and who was not a Catholic. Understand this point. The Inquisition had jurisdiction only over those people who claimed to be true Christians and Catholics. If you were a Jew passing through and were somehow picked up by the Inquisition and you announced that you were a Jew, you were released immediately. There was no jurisdiction. If you were a Protestant who did not claim to be a Catholic or a Christian, the court would have no jurisdiction over you. These things are important for you to understand. Because when people talk about how the Inquisition slaughtered hundreds and hundreds of people, it did it only to, quote, Catholics. Number two, the Inquisition was the fairest system of judicial judgment ever devised in the history of man. Understand again, the Inquisition had one goal, to find the truth. If it found that a person was a heretic, its goal then was to correct him, not to punish him. Its goal was to proclaim, preserve, and defend the truth of Jesus. It was not to burn people at the stake. Again, the Inquisition's goal was truth, not to win a battle. One, if one checks the records, will find out that frequently criminals of the time, when they were being tried in a regular criminal court, would ask to be shifted to the Inquisition. Why? Because the Inquisition's courts were better. Understand this principle also. Yes, the Inquisition took what in essence was called secret testimony. In other words, one man could turn another man in for being a heretic. And the first man did not confront the second one in open court. The reason the Inquisition did this was to prevent witnesses from being intimidated. Even today, in the United States of America, very frequently the mafia kills witnesses before they can get to court. And this prevents them from being prosecuted correctly, so justice is not done. Even today, rich men will intimidate or buy off jurors so they cannot be convicted. This is not justice. The inquisitional system was designed to prevent this. But understand this also. A tremendous defense was incorporated into this system for the defendant. When the defendant was brought up on charges, he was asked to list a name of all of his enemies who would have some reason to lie about him. If on that list was the name of his accuser, the charges were dropped. Because, as an example, if you owed a great deal of money to someone and tried to get him brought in front of the Inquisition so you could have him put away and would not have to pay the debt, the Inquisition would not allow this. So obviously, on the day the debt came due, the next day you were brought in front of the Inquisition, you would list your debtor, the person who owed you the money. And they would release you. Now I ask any reasonable person if they've ever heard of a system which is designed more fairly than that. If they have, I wish they would make me aware of it. And this was the system that people oppose to this day. A system which tried its best to eliminate personal prejudice, personal hatred, and bigotry. Those things which seem to motivate the adversarial position. Now, what about this concept that vast numbers of people were burned by the Inquisition? Well, first of all, they weren't burned by the Inquisition. Even those who were executed by the government of Spain. and the government of Spain is not the same as the Roman Catholic Church. Therefore, if you think the Inquisition was wrong, you will criticize the Spanish government of the time and not the Roman Catholic Church. Yes, the government of Spain, Ferdinand and Isabella, established a system based on the early Inquisition set up by the Pope at the time of the Albigensian Crusade. But that means nothing. Anglican clerics call themselves bishops based on the concept of the Roman Catholic bishop. They are not. Some Anglican ministers call themselves priests. They are not. They simply use the forms. Many Protestant churches are built in the form of a Catholic church. They are not Catholic churches. They simply follow the forms, the mechanics, the rituals, and sometimes the architecture, sometimes the language. So again, understand that. But even so, since Spain was such a Catholic country, and since it was done for a Catholic reason, let us examine some of the aspects of the Inquisition. First of all, the Inquisition would not condemn anybody to death. What they would do is, the term is translated into technical English as relax the person. Then it was up to the civil authorities to decide. Now, if you can find the statistics, and they do exist, you will find that regardless of the view that millions and thousands of people were slain, the average number of executions from the Inquisitions for large periods of time in Spain turned out to be approximately 2 a week throughout the entire country. 2 a week in a country that probably had 10 million people. Now, one of the misleading characteristics is that many people were tried in absentia. In other words, they had left. When they heard the Inquisition might come after them, they left the country. They were tried in absentia. Since they usually couldn't defend themselves, they were frequently found to be guilty, and they were relaxed. And sometimes historians, bigoted anti-Catholic historians, will take this as a death penalty. Also, sometimes people were tried after they were dead. In other words, they were also tried in absentia. And many, if not most, at least from the statistics that I can see, of the relaxations. Again, relaxation does not automatically mean death penalty, although then again, some absolutely were killed. Relaxations, the majority of which, according to the statistics I could see, were from dead and exiled people. So in other words, if you've heard that thousands were killed, burnt at the stake by the Inquisition, understand that many times these were effigies, quite literally dummies standing in for someone. And they did burn many dummies. And even if you see paintings of Inquisitional auto de fés, which is what they call these mass executions, understand that many of those apparent bodies being burned are effigies. We still do that today to express official disapproval. But with all of this truth coming out so that things don't seem nearly so bad because now you know some of the truth of it, it is still true that the Inquisition, even though it was not formally Catholic, but formally Spanish, with a Catholic atmosphere, did execute some people for heresy. In other words, some people were executed for what they said, what they taught, and what they advocated. Is this not a horrifying thing? No, it is not a horrifying thing. Those of us who have grown up in America believe that freedom of speech is the greatest thing in the world. We believe, because of the amendments in the Constitution, that freedom of speech is a God-given right and something good. In fact, it is not. Because freedom of speech says all words are equal and all words are equally protected. Follow it a little further. That means a lie is to be protected the way the truth is, which means a lie is equal to the truth. But since God is the father of all truth, and the devil is the father of all lies, as Jesus says, then that means God is equal to the devil. The logic is absolutely irrefutable. The concept of freedom of speech and the concept of not punishing someone because of a blasphemy or because of heresy is a concept that says these things don't matter. But Jesus tells us that by our very words we will be acquitted or condemned on our last word. On our last judgment. Jesus is called in St. John's Gospel the Word of God, and the Word of God was made flesh. Jesus heals by words, raises the dead, to life by words. Words are very important in Christianity. Truth is very important in Christianity. Lies are very important in Christianity. But in the adversarial American judicial system, they are not. They are considered nothing. They are considered useless. And no one is punished criminally for words, with very few circumstances, such as incitement for riot. But in general, the principle is one man's word is as good as any other man's word. And again, think of this principle that so many Americans think is a good principle. I would not agree with what you say, but I would defend to the death your right to say it. It's attributed to Voltaire, a very great anti-Catholic. What this means is, to paraphrase it into a cute couplet, I would die for a lie. But Catholics are required to die, if necessary, for the truth. Which means that you lay down your life rather than tell a lie. You lay down your right rather than deny the truths of Jesus. Which means, of course, that truth, God's truth, is more important than life. Ah, but does that mean God's truth is more important than someone else's life? And do you have the right to take someone else's life if they do not tell God's truth, if they lead others astray, if they commit heresy? Well, according to Jesus, you do. Jesus said, if anyone lead astray one of my little ones, and remember, we have to all become like children to get into heaven, so we all become one of his little ones. It would be better for him that a millstone be put around his neck and he be thrown into the sea. That is, executed. And in the Acts of the Apostles, with Annas and Sapphira, we have an incident of two people being struck down dead because they lied to the church. Now, if the scriptures mean anything, what this means is that lying about religious matters, lying to the church, refusing to accept the truth, and teaching heresy are justifiable grounds for being executed. Now, of course, I understand that the average American finds this incredibly repulsive. But remember, the average American, even the average American Catholic, has grown up in a very sinful culture, does not understand the teachings of Jesus, and does not understand that the teachings of Jesus ought to be advocated and adhered to above everything else. And remember, average American, this country pays people to kill children in the act of abortion. And I ask you, what kind of a system is that, that takes your tax money at the point of a gun, against your will, and gives it to a doctor so he may kill a son of God or a daughter of God before that child is born? And we call this legal. And the police protect the doctor's right to do so. And the state protects the woman's right to kill her own children. And I say to you, if you think that life is more important than the principles of Jesus, then understand what he said. He who loses his life for my sake will save it. But he who doesn't will lose it. I hope now you understand why the Inquisition is nothing that Catholics should be ashamed of at all. That doesn't mean to say, of course, there weren't abuses by individuals. But that is a separate matter, and as long as there are human beings, there'll always be abuses of everything. After all, Adam and Eve abused the freedom that God gave them. That doesn't mean to say the freedom was wrong. Neither was the Inquisition. Additional copies of this tape or any of the other products which OM produces may be obtained by writing to us. And if you have any comments or suggestions, please contact us at the same address. ARM55 Palin, P-A-L-E-N, Road, number 38, Hopewell Junction, New York, 12533. Thank you. God bless.